Greetings, listeners. We're back once again to talk to you about the Cthulhu mythos, its books, its monsters, its unfortunate human casualties, its timeline in general, and even its tangential bits like the dreamlands, or things of a weird nature, or things that are Lovecraftian leaning. Weird fiction, science fiction, horror, learn of terrible meetings in lonely places, of cyclopean ruins and vast staircases that lead down to abysses of nighted secrets, of complex angles that lead through invisible walls to other regions of space and time, and of hideous explorations in remote and forbidden places, on other worlds, and in different time-space continua. From the creation of our galaxy to the death of the sun, this is an exploration of the Cthulhu mythos from the perspective of humans' concept of history. We are the people's guide to the Cthulhu mythos. You can find us at pgttcm.com, pgttcm.podbean.com, and you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The people's guide to the Cthulhu mythos starts now.
The People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. Season 8.
Welcome back to part 2 of The Gods of Pagana by Lord Dunsany. So here is part 2. Hope you enjoy it.
The Gods of Pagana by Lord Edward J.M.D. Plunkett Dunsany. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Recording by Jason Mills. Part 5. Yonath the Prophet. Yonath was the first among prophets who uttered unto men. These are the words of Yonath, the first among all prophets. There be gods upon Pagana. Upon a night I slept, and in my sleep Pagana came very near, and Pagana was full of gods. I saw the gods beside me as one might see wanted things, only I saw not Mana Yud Sushai. And in that hour, in the hour of my sleep, I knew. And the end and the beginning of my knowing, and all of my knowing that there was this, that man knoweth not. Seek thou to find at night the utter edge of the darkness, or seek to find the birthplace of the rainbow where he leapeth upward from the hills, only seek not concerning the wherefore of the making of the gods. The gods have set a brightness upon the farther side of things to come, that they may appear more felicitous to men than the things that are. To the gods, the things to come are but as the things that are, and nothing altereth in Pagana. The gods, although not merciful, are not ferocious gods. They are the destroyers of the days that were, but they set a glory about the days to be. Man must endure the days that are, but the gods have left him his ignorance as a solace. Seek not to know. Thy seeking will weary thee, and thou wilt return much worn, to rest at last about the place from whence thou settest out upon thy seeking. Seek not to know. Even I, Yonath, the oldest prophet, burdened with the wisdom of great years and worn with seeking, know only that man knoweth not. Once I set out seeking to know all things. Now I know one thing only, and soon the years will carry me away. The path of my seeking, that leadeth to seeking again, must be trodden by very many more, when Yonath is no longer even Yonath. Set not thy foot upon that path. Seek not to know. These be the words of Yonath. Yug the Prophet. When the years had carried away Yonath, and Yonath was dead, there was no longer a prophet among men, and still men sought to know. Therefore they said unto Yug, Be thou our prophet, and know all things, and tell us concerning the wherefore of it all. And Yug said, I know all things. And men were pleased. And Yug said of the beginning that it was in Yug's own garden, and of the end that it was in the sight of Yug. And men forgot Yug. One day Yug saw Mung behind the hills making the sign of Mung, and Yug was Yug no more. Alhireth Hotep the Prophet. When Yug was Yug no more, men said unto Alhireth Hotep, Be thou our prophet, and be as wise as Yug. And Alhireth Hotep said, I am as wise as Yug. And men were very glad. And Alhireth Hotep said of life and death, These be the affairs of Alhireth Hotep. And men brought gifts to him. One day Alhireth Hotep wrote in a book, Alhireth Hotep knoweth all things, for he hath spoken with Mung. And Mung stepped from behind him, making the sign of Mung, saying, Knowest thou all things then, Alhireth Hotep? And Alhireth Hotep became among the things that were. Kabok the Prophet. When Alhireth Hotep was among the things that were, and still men sought to know, they said unto Kabok, Be thou as wise as was Alhireth Hotep. And Kabok grew wise in his own sight, and in the sight of men. And Kabok said, Mung maketh his signs against men, or withholdeth it, by the advice of Kabok. And he said unto one, Thou hast sinned against Kabok, therefore will Mung make the sign of Mung against thee. And to another, Thou hast brought Kabok gifts, therefore shall Mung forbear to make against thee the sign of Mung. One night, as Kabok fattened upon the gifts that men had brought him, he heard the tread of Mung, treading in the garden of Kabok, about his house at night. And because the night was very still, it seemed most evil to Kabok that Mung should be treading in his garden, without the advice of Kabok, about his house at night. And Kabok, who knew all things, grew afraid, for the treading was very loud, and the night still, and he knew not what lay behind the back of Mung, which none had ever seen. But when the morning grew to brightness, and there was light upon the worlds, and Mung trod no longer in the garden, Kabok forgot his fears, and said, Perhaps it was but a herd of cattle that stampeded in the garden of Kabok. And Kabok went about his business, which was that of knowing all things, and telling all things unto men, and making light of Mung. But that night Mung trod again in the garden of Kabok, about his house at night, and stood before the window of the house, like a shadow standing erect, so that Kabok knew indeed that it was Mung. And a great fear fell upon the throat of Kabok, so that his speech was hoarse, and he cried out, Thou art Mung! And Mung slightly inclined his head, and went on to tread in the garden of Kabok, about his house at night. And Kabok lay and listened, with horror at his heart. But when the second morning grew to brightness, and there was light upon the worlds, Mung went from treading in the garden of Kabok. And for a little while Kabok hoped, but looked with great dread for the coming of the third night. And when the third night was come, and the bat had gone to his home, and the wind had sank, the night was very still. And Kabok lay and listened, to whom the wings of the night flew very slow. But ere night met the morning upon the highway between Pagana and the worlds, there came the tread of Mung in the garden of Kabok, towards Kabok's door. And Kabok fled out of his house as flees a hunted beast, and flung himself before Mung. And Mung made the sign of Mung, pointing towards the end. And the fears of Kabok had rest from troubling Kabok any more, for they and he were among accomplished things. Of the calamity that befell Yun-Ilara by the sea, and of the building of the Tower of the Ending of Days. When Kabok and his fears had rest, the people sought a prophet who should have no fear of Mung, whose hand was against the prophets. And at last they found Yun-Ilara, who tended sheep, and had no fear of Mung. And the people brought him to the town that he might be their prophet. And Yun-Ilara builded a tower towards the sea that looked upon the setting of the sun, and he called it the Tower of the Ending of Days. And about the ending of the day would Yun-Ilara go up to his tower's top, and look towards the setting of the sun, to cry his curses against Mung, crying, O Mung, whose hand is against the sun, whom men abhor but worship because they fear thee, here stands and speaks a man who fears thee not, assassin lord of murder and dark things, abhorrent, merciless, make thou the sign of Mung against me when thou wilt, but until silence settles upon my lips because of the sign of Mung, I will curse Mung to his face. And the people in the street below would gaze up with wonder towards Yun-Ilara, who had no fear of Mung, and brought him gifts. Only in their homes, after the falling of the night, would they pray again with reverence to Mung. But Mung said, "Shall a man curse a god?" And still Mung came not nigh to Yun Ilara, as he cried his curses against Mung from his tower towards the sea. And Sish, throughout the worlds, hurled time away, and slew the hours that had served him well, and called up more out of the timeless waste that lieth beyond the worlds, and drave them forth to assail all things. And Sish cast a whiteness over the hairs of Yun Ilara, and ivy about his tower, and weariness over his limbs, for Mung passed by him still. And when Sish became a god less durable to Yun Ilara than ever Mung hath been, he ceased at last to cry from his tower's top his curses against Mung whenever the sun went down, till there came the day when weariness of the gift of Kib fell heavily upon Yun Ilara. Then from the tower of the ending of days did Yun Ilara cry out thus to Mung, crying, "O Mung, O loveliest of the gods, O Mung most dearly to be desired, thy gift of death is the heritage of man, with ease and rest and silence and returning to the earth. Kib giveth but toil and trouble, and Sish, he sendeth regrets with each of his hours wherewith he assails the world. Yoharneth Lahai cometh nigh no more. I can no longer be glad with Limpang Tung. When the other gods forsake him, a man hath only Mung." But Mung said, "Shall a man curse a god?" And every day and all night long did Yun Ilara cry aloud, "Ah, now for the hour of the mourning of many, and the pleasant garlands of flowers, and the tears, and the moist dark earth. Ah, for repose down underneath the grass, where the firm feet of the trees grip hold upon the world, where never shall come the wind that now blows through my bones, and the rain shall come warm and trickling, not driven by storm. Where is the easeful falling asunder of bone from bone in the dark?" Thus prayed Yun Ilara, who had cursed in his folly and youth, while never heeded Mung. Still, from a heap of bones that are Yun Ilara still, lying about the ruined base of the tower that once he builded, goes up a shrill voice with the wind, crying out for the mercy of Mung, if any such there be. Of how the gods whelmed Sidith. There was dole in the valley of Sidith. For 3 years there had been pestilence, and in the last of the three a famine. Moreover, there was imminence of war. Throughout all Sidith, men died night and day, and night and day within the temple of all the gods save one, for none may pray to Mana Yud Sushai, did the priests of the gods pray hard. For they said, "For a long while man may hear the droning of little insects, and yet not be aware that he hath heard them. So may the gods not hear our prayers at first, until they have been very oft repeated. But when your praying has troubled the silence long, it may be that some god, as he strolls in Pagana's glades, may come on one of our lost prayers, that flutters like a butterfly tossed in storm when all its wings are broken. Then, if the gods be merciful, they may ease our fears in Sidith, or else they may crush us, being petulant gods. And so we shall see trouble in Sidith no longer, with its pestilence and dearth and fears of war." But in the 4th year of the pestilence, and in the 2nd year of the famine, and while still there was imminence of war, came all the people of Sidith to the door of the temple of all the gods save one, where none may enter but the priests, but only leave gifts and go. And there the people cried out, "O high prophet of all the gods save one, priest of Kib, priest of Sish and priest of Mung, teller of the mysteries of Dorajand, receiver of the gifts of the people, and lord of prayer, what doest thou within the temple of all the gods save one?" And Arb Rin Hadith, who was the high prophet, answered, "I pray for all the people." But the people answered, "O high prophet of all the gods save one, priest of Kib, priest of Sish and priest of Mung, teller of the mysteries of Dorajand, receiver of the gifts of the people, and lord of prayer, for 4 long years hast thou prayed with the priests of all thine order, while we brought ye gifts and died. Now therefore, since they have not heard thee in 4 grim years, thou must go and carry to their faces the prayer of the people of Sidith, when they go to drive the thunder to his pasture upon the mountain Agrinon, or else there shall no longer be gifts upon thy temple door, whenever falls the dew, that thou and thine order may fatten. Then thou shalt say before their faces, all the gods save one, lords of the worlds, whose child is the eclipse, take back thy pestilence from Sidith, for ye have played the game of the gods too long with the people of Sidith, who would fain have done with the gods. Then in great fear answered the high prophet, saying, What if the gods be angry, and whelm Sidith? And the people answered, Then are we sooner done with pestilence and famine and the imminence of war. That night the thunder howled upon Aghrinaun, which stood a peak above all others in the land of Sidith. And the people took Ar-Brin-Hadath from his temple, and drave him to Aghrinaun, for they said, There walk tonight upon the mountain all the gods save one. And Ar-Brin-Hadith went trembling to the gods. Next morning, white and frightened from Aghrinaun, came Ar-Brin-Hadith back into the valley, and there spake to the people, saying, The faces of the gods are iron, and their mouths set hard. There is no hope from the gods. Then said the people, Thou shalt go to Mana Yutsushai, to whom no man may pray. Seek him upon Aghrinaun, where it lifts clear into the stillness before morning, and on its summit, where all things seem to rest, surely there rests also Mana Yutsushai. Go to him, and say, Thou hast made evil gods, and they smite Sidith. Perchance he hath forgotten all his gods, or hath not heard of Sidith. Thou hast escaped the thunder of the gods. Surely thou shalt also escape the stillness of Mana Yutsushai. Upon a morning, when the sky and lakes were clear, and the world still, and Aghrinaun was stiller than the world, Ar-Brin-Hadith crept in fear towards the slopes of Aghrinaun, because the people were urgent. All that day men saw him climbing. At night he rested near the top. But ere the morning of the day that followed, such as rose early saw him in the silence, a speck against the blue, stretch up his arms upon the summit to Mana Yutsushai. Then instantly they saw him not, nor was he ever seen of men again, who had dared to trouble the stillness of Mana Yutsushai. Such as now speak of Sidith tell of a fierce and potent tribe that smote away a people in a valley enfeebled by pestilence, where stood a temple to all the gods save one, in which was no high priest. Part 6. Of how Imbaun became high prophet in Aradec, of all the gods save one. Imbaun was to be made high prophet in Aradec, of all the gods save one. From Ardra, Rudra, and the lands beyond came all the high prophets of the earth to the temple in Aradec, of all the gods save one. And then they told Imbaun how the secret of things was upon the summit of the dome of the Hall of Night, but faintly writ, and in an unknown tongue. Midway in the night, between the setting and the rising sun, they led Imbaun into the Hall of Night, and said to him, chaunting altogether, Imbaun, 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 look up to the roof, where is writ the secret of things, but faintly, and in an unknown tongue. And Imbaun looked up, but darkness was so deep within the Hall of Night, that Imbaun saw not even the high prophets who came from Ardra, Rudra, and the lands beyond, nor saw he aught in the Hall of Night at all. Then called the high priests, What seest thou, Imbaun? And Imbaun said, I see naught. Then called the high prophets, What knowest thou, Imbaun? And Imbaun said, I know naught. Then spake the high prophet of Eld of all the gods save one, who is first on earth of prophets. O Imbaun, we have all looked upwards in the Hall of Night, towards the secret of things, and ever it was dark, and the secret faint, and in an unknown tongue. And now thou knowest what all high prophets know. And Imbaun answered, I know. So Imbaun became high prophet in Aradec of all the gods save one, and prayed for all the people, who knew not that there was darkness in the Hall of Night, or that the secret was writ faint, and in an unknown tongue. These are the words of Imbaun, that he wrote in a book, that all the people might know. In the 20th night of the 900th moon, as night came up the valley, I performed the mystic rites of each of the gods in the temple, as is my wont, lest any of the gods should grow angry in the night, and whelm us while we slept. And as I uttered the last of certain secret words, I fell asleep in the temple, for I was weary, with my head against the altar of Dorozhand. Then, in the stillness, as I slept, there entered Dorozhand by the temple door, in the guise of a man, and touched me on the shoulder, and I awoke. But when I saw that his eyes shone blue, and lit the whole of the temple, I knew that he was a god, though he came in mortal guise. And Dorozhand said, "Prophet of Dorozhand, behold, that the people may know." And he showed me the paths of Sish, stretching far down into the future time. Then he bade me arise and follow whither he pointed, speaking no words, but commanding with his eyes. Therefore, upon the 20th night of the 900th moon, I walked with Dorozhand adown the paths of Sish into the future time. And ever beside the way did men slay men, and the sum of their slaying was greater than the slaying of the pestilence of any of the evils of the gods. And cities arose and shed their houses in dust, and ever the desert returned again to its own, and covered over and hid the last of all that had troubled its repose. And still men slew men. And I came at last to a time when men set their yoke no longer upon beasts, but made them beasts of iron. And after that did men slay men with mists. Then, because the slaying exceeded their desire, there came peace upon the world that was brought by the hand of the slayer, and men slew men no more. And cities multiplied, and overthrew the desert, and conquered its repose. And suddenly I beheld that the end was near, for there was a stirring above Pagana, as of one who grows weary of resting. And I saw the hound Time crouch to spring, with his eyes upon the throats of the gods, shifting from throat to throat, and the drumming of Skarl grew faint. And if a god may fear, it seemed that there was fear upon the face of Dorozhand, and he seized me by the hand, and led me back along the paths of time, that I might not see the end. Then I saw cities rise out of the dust again, and fall back into the desert whence they had arisen, and again I slept in the temple of all the gods save one, with my head against the altar of Dorozhand. Then again the temple was alight, but not with light from the eyes of Dorozhand. Only dawn came all blue out of the east, and shone through the arches of the temple. Then I awoke, and performed the morning rites and mysteries of all the gods save one, lest any of the gods be angry in the day, and take away the sun. And I knew that because I, who had been so near to it, had not beheld the end, that a man should never behold it, or know the doom of the gods. This they have hidden. Of how Imbon met Zodrak. The prophet of the gods lay resting by the river, to watch the stream run by. And as he lay, he pondered on the scheme of things, and the works of all the gods. And it seemed to the prophet of the gods, as he watched the stream run by, that the scheme was a right scheme, and the gods benignant gods. Yet there was sorrow in the worlds. It seemed that Kib was bountiful, that Mung calmed all who suffer, that Sish dealt not too harshly with the hours, and that all the gods were good. Yet there was sorrow in the worlds. Then said the prophet of the gods, as he watched the stream run by, "There is some other god of whom naught is writ." And suddenly the prophet was aware of an old man who bemoaned beside the river, crying, "Alas! Alas!" His face was marked by the sign and the seal of exceeding many years, and there was yet vigour in his frame. These be the words of the prophet that he wrote in his book. I said, "Who art thou that bemoans beside the river?" And he answered, "I am the fool." I said, "Upon thy brow are the marks of wisdom, such as is stored in books." He said, "I am Zodrak. Thousands of years ago I tended sheep upon a hill that sloped towards the sea. The gods have many moods. Thousands of years ago they were in a mirthful mood. They said, 'Let us call up a man before us, that we may laugh in Pagana.' And their eyes that looked on me saw not me alone, but also saw the beginning, and the end, and all the worlds besides. Then said the gods, speaking as speak the gods, 'Go, back to thy sheep.' But I, who am the fool, had heard it said on earth, that whoso seeth the gods upon Pagana becometh as the gods, if so he demand to their faces, who may not slay him who hath looked them in the eyes. And I, the fool, said, I have looked in the eyes of the gods, and I demand what a man may demand of the gods when he hath seen them in Pagana. And the gods inclined their heads, and Hoodrazai said, It is the law of the gods. And I, who was only a shepherd, how could I know? I said, I will make men rich. And the gods said, What is rich? And I said, I will send them love. And the gods said, What is love? And I sent gold into the worlds, and alas, I sent with it poverty and strife. And I sent love into the worlds, and with it grief. And now I have mixed gold and love most woefully together, and I can never remedy what I have done, for the deeds of the gods are done, and nothing may undo them. Then I said, I will give men wisdom, that they may be glad. And those who got my wisdom found that they knew nothing, and from having been happy became glad no more. And I, who would make men happy, have made them sad. And I have spoiled the beautiful scheme of the gods. And now my hand is forever on the handle of their plough. I was only a shepherd, and how should I have known? Now I come to thee as thou restest by the river, to ask of thee thy forgiveness, for I would fain have the forgiveness of a man. And I answered, O Lord of seven skies, whose children are the storms, shall a man forgive a god? He answered, Men have sinned not against the gods, as the gods have sinned against men since I came into their councils. And I, the prophet, answered, O Lord of seven skies, whose plaything is the thunder, thou art amongst the gods. What need hast thou for words from any man? He said, Indeed I am amongst the gods, who speak to me as they speak to other gods, yet is there always a smile about their mouths, and a look in their eyes that saith, Thou wert a man. I said, O Lord of seven skies, about whose feet the worlds are as drifted sand, because thou biddest me, I, a man, forgive thee. And he answered, I was but a shepherd, and I could not know. Then he was gone. Pagana. The prophet of the gods cried out to the gods, O, all the gods save one, for none may pray to Mana Yud-Sushai. Where shall the life of a man abide when Mung hath made against his body the sign of Mung? For the people with whom ye play have sought to know. But the gods answered, speaking through the mist, Though thou shouldst tell thy secrets to the beasts, even that the beasts should understand, yet will not the gods divulge the secret of the gods to thee, that gods and beasts and men shall be all the same, all knowing the same things. That night Yoharneth Lahai came to Aradec, and said unto Imborn, Wherefore wouldst thou know the secret of the gods, that not the gods may tell thee? When the wind blows not, where then is the wind? Or when thou art not living, where art thou? What should the wind care for the hours of calm, or thou for death? Thy life is long, eternity is short, so short that, shouldst thou die and eternity should pass, and after the passing of eternity thou shouldst live again, thou wouldst say, I closed mine eyes but for an instant. There is an eternity behind thee as well as one before. Hast thou bewailed the eons that passed without thee, who art so much afraid of the eons that shall pass? Then said the prophet, How shall I tell the people that the gods have not spoken, and their prophet doth not know? For then should I be prophet no longer, and another would take the people's gifts instead of me. Then said Imborn to the people, The gods have spoken, saying, O Imborn, our prophet, it is as the people believe, whose wisdom hath discovered the secret of the gods. And the people when they die shall come to Pagana, and there live with the gods, and there have pleasure without toil. And Pagana is a place all white with the peaks of mountains, on each of them a god. And the people shall lie upon the slopes of the mountains, each under the god that he hath worshipped most when his lot was in the worlds. And there shall music beyond thy dreaming come drifting through the scent of all the orchards in the worlds, with somewhere someone singing an old song that shall be as a half-remembered thing. And there shall be gardens that have always sunlight, and streams that are lost in no sea beneath skies for ever blue. And there shall be no rain, nor no regrets. Only the roses that in highest Pagana have achieved their prime shall shed their petals in showers at thy feet, and only far away on the forgotten earth shall voices drift up to thee, that cheered thee in thy childhood about the gardens of thy youth. And if thou sighest for any memory of earth, because thou hearest unforgotten voices, then will the gods send messengers on wings to soothe thee in Pegana, saying to them, There one sigheth who hath remembered earth. And they shall make Pegana more seductive for thee still, and they shall take thee by the hand, and whisper in thine ear, till the old voices are forgot. And besides the flowers of Pegana, there shall have climbed by then until it hath reached to Pegana the rose that clambered about the house where thou wast born. Thither shall also come the wandering echoes of all such music as charmed thee long ago. Moreover, as thou sittest on the orchard lawns that clothe Pegana's mountains, and as thou hearkenest to melody that sways the souls of the gods, there shall stretch away far down beneath thee the great unhappy earth, till gazing from rapture upon sorrows, thou shalt be glad that thou wert dead. And from the three great mountains that stand aloof and over all the others, Grimbol, Zebol, and Trehagobol, shall blow the wind of the morning, and the wind of all the day, borne upon the wings of all the butterflies that have died upon the worlds, to cool the gods and Pegana. Far through Pegana a silvery fountain, lured upward by the gods from the central sea, shall fling its waters aloft, and over the highest of Pegana's peaks, above Trehagobol, shall burst into gleaming mists, to cover highest Pegana, and make a curtain about the resting place of Mana Yutsushai. Alone, still and remote, below the base of one of the inner mountains, lieth a great blue pool. Whoever looketh down into its waters may behold all his life that was upon the worlds, and all the deeds that he hath done. None walk by the pool, and none regard its depths, for all in Pegana have suffered, and all have sinned some sin, and it lieth in the pool. And there is no darkness in Pegana, for when night hath conquered the sun, and stilled the worlds, and turned the white peaks of Pegana into grey, then shine the blue eyes of the gods like sunlight on the sea, where each god sits upon his mountain. And at the last, upon some afternoon, perhaps in summer, shall the gods say, speaking to the gods, What is the likeness of Mana Yutsushai, and what the end? And then shall Mana Yutsushai draw back with his hand the mists that cover his resting, saying, This is the face of Mana Yutsushai, and this the end. Then said the people to the prophet, Shall not black hills draw round in some forsaken land, to make a veil-wide cauldron, wherein the molten rock shall seethe and roar, and where the crags of mountains shall be hurled upward to the surface, and bubble and go down again, that there our enemies may boil for ever? And the prophet answered, It is writ large about the bases of Pegana's mountains, upon which sit the gods, Thine enemies are forgiven. Part 7 The Sayings of Imbaun. The prophet of the gods said, Yonder beside the road there sitteth a false prophet, and to all who seek to know the hidden days he saith, Upon the morrow the king shall speak to thee as his chariot goeth by. Moreover all the people bring him gifts, and the false prophet hath more to listen to his words than hath the prophet of the gods. Then said Imbaun, What knoweth the prophet of the gods? I know only that I and men know naught concerning the gods, or aught concerning men. Shall I, who am their prophet, tell the people this? For wherefore have the people chosen prophets, but that they should speak the hopes of the people, and tell the people that their hopes be true? The false prophet saith, Upon the morrow the king shall speak to thee. Shall not I say, Upon the morrow the gods shall speak with thee, as thou restest upon Pegana? So shall the people be happy, and know that their hopes be true, who have believed the words that they have chosen a prophet to say. But what shall know the prophet of the gods, to whom none may come to say, Thy hopes are true, for whom none may make strange signs before his eyes to quench his fear of death, for whom alone the chaunt of his priests availeth naught? The prophet of the gods hath sold his happiness for wisdom, and hath given his hopes for the people. Said also Imbaun, When thou art angry at night, observe how calm be the stars. And shall small ones rail when there is such a calm among the great ones? Or when thou art angry by day, regard the distant hills, and see the calm that doth adorn their faces. shalt thou be angry while they stand so serene? Be not angry with men, for they are driven as thou art by Dorojand. Do bullocks goad one another on whom the same yoke rests? And be not angry with Dorojand, for then thou beatest thy bare fingers against iron cliffs. All that is so because it was to be. Rail not, therefore, against what is, for it was all to be. And Imbaun said, The sun ariseth, and maketh a glory about all the things that he seeth, and drop by drop he turneth the common dew to every kind of gem, and he maketh a splendour in the hills. And also man is born, and there rests a glory about the gardens of his youth. Both travel afar to do what Dorojand would have them do. Soon now the sun will set, and very softly come twinkling in the stillness all the stars. Also man dieth, and quietly about his grave will all the mourners weep. Will not his life arise again somewhere in all the worlds? Shall he not again behold the gardens of his youth? Or does he set to end? Of how Imbaun spake of death to the king. There trod such pestilence in Aradec that the king, as he looked abroad out of his palace, saw men die. And when the king saw death, he feared that one day even the king should die. Therefore he commanded guards to bring before him the wisest prophet that should be found in Aradec. Then heralds came to the temple of all the gods save one, and cried aloud, having first commanded silence, crying, Razahan, king over Aradec, prince by right of Ildun and Ildorn, and prince by conquest of Pathia, Ezek, and Ajan, lord of the hills, to the high prophet of all the gods save one sends salutations. Then they bore him before the king. The king said unto the prophet, O prophet of all the gods save one, shall I indeed die? And the prophet answered, O king, thy people may not rejoice for ever, and some day the king will die. And the king answered, This may be so, but certainly thou shalt die. It may be that one day I shall die, but till then the lives of the people are in my hands. Then guards led the prophet away, and there arose prophets in Aradec who spake not of death to kings. Of Ud. Men say that if thou comest to Sundari, beyond all the plains, and shalt climb to his summit before thou art seized by the avalanche which sitteth always on his slopes, that then there lie before thee many peaks. And if thou shalt climb these, and cross their valleys, of which there be seven, and also seven peaks, thou shalt come at last to the land of forgotten hills, where, amid many valleys and white snow, there standeth the great temple of one god only. Therein is a dreaming prophet, who doeth naught, and a drowsy priesthood about him. These be the priests of Mana Yud Sushai. Within the temple it is forbidden to work, also it is forbidden to pray. Night differeth not from day within its doors. They rest as Mana rests, and the name of their prophet is Ud. Ud is a greater prophet than any of all the prophets of earth, and it hath been said by some that were Ud and his priests to pray chaunting all together, and calling upon Mana Yud Sushai, that Mana Yud Sushai would then awake, for surely he would hear the prayers of his own prophet. Then there would be worlds no more. There is also another way to the land of forgotten hills, which is a smooth road and a strait, that lies through the heart of the mountains. But for certain hidden reasons, it were better for thee to go by the peaks and snow, even though thou shouldst perish by the way, than thou shouldst seek to come to the house of Ud by the smooth, straight road. The River. There arises a river in Pagana, that is neither a river of water, nor yet a river of fire, and it flows through the skies and the worlds to the rim of the worlds, a river of silence. Through all the worlds are sounds, the noises of moving, and the echoes of voices and songs. But upon the river is no sound ever heard, for there all echoes die. The river arises out of the drumming of Skarl, and flows for ever between banks of thunder, until it comes to the waste beyond the worlds, behind the farthest star, down to the Sea of Silence. I lay in the desert beyond all cities and sounds, and above me flowed the River of Silence through the sky, and on the desert's edge night fought against the sun, and suddenly conquered. Then on the river I saw the dream-built ship of the god Yoharneth Lahai, whose great prow lifted grey into the air above the River of Silence. Her timbers were olden dreams, dreamed long ago, and poets' fancies made her tall straight masts, and her rigging was wrought out of the people's hopes. Upon her deck were rowers with dream-made oars, and the rowers were people of men's fancies, and princes of old story, and people who had died, and people who had never been. These swung forward and swung back to row Yoharneth Lahai through the worlds, with never a sound of rowing. For ever on every wind float up to Pegana the hopes and the fancies of the people, which have no home in the worlds. And there Yoharneth Lahai weaves them into dreams, to take them to the people again. And every night in his dream-built ship Yoharneth Lahai setteth forth, with all his dreams on board, to take again their old hopes back to the people, and all forgotten fancies. But ere the day comes back to her own again, and all the conquering armies of the dawn hurl their red lances in the face of the night, Yoharneth Lahai leaves the sleeping worlds, and rows back up the River of Silence, that flows from Pegana into the Sea of Silence that lies beyond the worlds. And the name of the river is Imrana, the River of Silence. All they that be weary of the sound of cities, and very tired of clamour, creep down in the night-time to Yoharneth Lahai's ship, and going aboard it, among the dreams and the fancies of old times, lie down upon the deck, and pass from sleeping to the river, while Mung, behind them, makes the sign of Mung, because they would have it so. And lying there upon the deck, among their own remembered fancies, and songs that were never sung, they drift up Imrana ere the dawn, where the sound of the cities comes not, nor the voice of the thunder is heard, nor the midnight howl of pain as he gnaws at the bodies of men, and far away and forgotten bleat the small sorrows that trouble all the worlds. But where the river flows through Pegana's gates, between the great twin constellations Yum and Gothum, where Yum stands sentinel upon the left and Gothum upon the right, there sits Sirami, the lord of all forgetting. And when the ship draws near, Sirami looketh with his sapphire eyes into the faces, and beyond them, of those that were weary of cities. And as he gazes, as one that looketh before him remembering naught, he gently waves his hands. And amid the waving of Sirami's hands, there fall from all that behold him all their memories, save certain things, that may not be forgotten even beyond the worlds. It hath been said that when Skarl ceases to drum, and Mana Yutsushai awakes, and the gods of Pegana know that it is the end, that then the gods will enter galleons of gold, and with dream-born rowers glide down Imrana, who knows whither or why, till they come where the river enters the silent sea, and shall there be gods of nothing, where nothing is, and never a sound shall come. And far away upon the river's banks shall bear their old hound Time, that shall seek to rend his masters, while Mana Yud-Sushai shall think some other plan concerning gods and worlds. The Bird of Doom and the End. For at the last shall the thunder, fleeing to escape from the doom of the gods, roar horribly among the worlds, and Time, the hound of the gods, shall bay hungrily at his masters, because he is lean with age. And from the innermost of Pegana's vales shall the bird of doom, Mosan, whose voice is like the trumpet, soar upward with boisterous beatings of his wings above Pegana's mountains and the gods, and there with his trumpet voice acclaim the end. Then, in the tumult, and amid the fury of their hound, the gods shall make for the last time in Pegana the sign of all the gods, and go with dignity and quiet down to their galleons of gold, and sail away down the River of Silence, not ever to return. Then shall the river overflow its banks, and a tide come setting in from the silent sea, till all the worlds and the skies are drowned in silence, while Mana Yud-Sushai, in the middle of all, sits deep in thought. And the hound Time, when all the worlds and cities are swept away whereon he used to raven, having no more to devour, shall suddenly die. But there are some that hold, and this is the heresy of the Sigoths, that when the gods go down at the last into their galleons of gold, Mung shall turn alone, and, setting his back against Trehagobol, and wielding the Sword of Severing, which is called Death, shall fight out his last fight with the hound Time, his empty scabbard Sleep clattering loose beside him. There under Trehagobol they shall fight alone when all the gods are gone, and the Sargoths say that for 2 days and nights the hound shall leer and snarl before the face of Mung, days and nights that shall be lit by neither sun nor moons, for these shall go dipping down the sky with all the worlds as the galleons glide away, because the gods that made them are gods no more. And then shall the hound, springing, tear out to the throat of Mung, who, making for the last time the sign of Mung, shall bring down death crashing through the shoulders of the hound, and in the blood of Time that sword shall rust away. Then shall Mana Yud Sushai be all alone, with neither death nor time, and never the hours singing in his ears, nor the swish of the passing lives. But far away from Pegana shall go the galleons of gold, that bear the gods away, upon whose faces shall be utter calm, because they are the gods, knowing that it is the end. Recording by Jason Mills. End of The Gods of Pegana, by Lord Edward J.M.D. Plunkett Dunsany.
Thank you for listening to People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. That was a heck of a reading. Glad you were there. Can't wait for the next part of October with Lord Dunsany, because I haven't thought of a clever title for it. If you have a clever title for October with Lord Dunsany, contact us on social media and let us know. We're PGTTCM on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, but, you know, that's just an auto-dump place, you know. You know. All right. Thank you for listening to People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. Stay squiggly, keep it weird, and stay tuned.